It's Saturday at 1 o'clock. I'm Steve Reinhardt. I'm your host. Happy to be with you every week for this short period of time. This is the place where Utah's culture, history, politics, and religion collide. I have invited Steve Graham, who was a guest on my program 2 weeks ago and several months before that, to speak to us and take over the microphone for the first 20 minutes of the program. He may be substituting here at K-Talk for some of the hosts in the future, myself included, and it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say, and also good practice for him in running the controls. So I will be back after the next segment. Here's Steve.
Hello, everybody. Steve Graham here. I'm glad to be with you today. As Stephen said, I've been on this program a couple of times, and the reason I'm here is because I represent the Standard of Liberty. We're a foundation, a nonprofit foundation, and we're an LDS-oriented educational organization, and we exist in order to raise awareness of the sexual activist movements that are overrunning America's Christian moral and cultural life, and to inspire the public will in families and individuals to counteract these trends. And so that's what we're all about. Today, I thought I would talk to you a little bit about how we've been conditioned and how people are getting us to do things that go against our better judgment and the things that we've always believed. But before I do that, let me give you a couple of things. We've got a website that's standardofliberty.org. I encourage you to go take a look at that website. There's a lot of good information on there, and it can help you be educated about these cultural trends that are going on in our country and the people that are pushing ideologies that are counter to the God-based traditional values that most of us in this country hold to. So that's www.standardofliberty.org. Also, I'm available for giving talks on this and a number of other topics, such as what we're going to be talking about today. We're also associated with a publishing company. It's Tidal Wave Books, and that's like the thing that washes over in the ocean. It's TidalWaveBooks.com. If you go take a look there, you'll see some of the books that we have published in conjunction with the Standard of Liberty. You know what? What I thought I'd talk about today is, as I said, how we've been conditioned. And I want to say a few words to you, and I want you to tell me what you think of. Think in your mind, what's the first thing you think of? And here's an example. How would you describe the person that's in charge of a committee? You know, they're the person that runs that committee. Now, think about that. If the word chair came to your mind, then you've been conditioned. What about the idea of chairman? Remember how chairman used to be the word that was used to describe the person in charge of the committee? Let's think about another one. What about if you're trying to determine whether a person is a male or a female? What do you use to describe that? If you're using gender, then you've been conditioned. It used to be that sex was the word that we used, but we are being conditioned not to use that except in certain circumstances. Here's another one. What do you call the person that delivers the mail to your house? If you've got in your mind now letter carrier, then you've been conditioned. What about the idea that we, for as long as anybody can remember, since the beginning of our country, they were called the mailman? Same thing. What about the person that puts out fires? If you're thinking firefighter, then you've been conditioned. What about the idea of using the long-standing traditional word fireman? See what I'm driving at? And it goes beyond that. Here's another one. Nowadays, you'll hear politicians especially, and they'll say that when they want to talk about the religious background that they have, they'll call it their faith tradition. Instead of calling it the church I belong to or the religion I belong to, it's my faith tradition. And do you see how that is weakening the foundation upon which we build our lives? If it's just a tradition, then it can be changed anytime somebody decides. So if it's a faith tradition, why, that's so weak. There's no truth in that. There's just, it can be changed whenever the public idea of what your faith ought to be changes. So why not call it, this is my religion, or this is my eternal truth that I hold to, or whatever. And there are a lot of other things. One thing that I came across the other day that was so interesting to me is the way we determine, the way we designate the years that go by. And right now we're in 2007 AD. And that AD represents Anno Domini, which is the year of our Lord. And as we know, our time started being counted from the time Jesus Christ was born. And before that, we call it BC, before Christ. Well, here's the crazy thing that people have started using. Godless, people with no faith, non-Christian, they're calling it CE and BCE. A CE is for the common era. Instead of saying AD in the year of our Lord, they're just calling it the common era. Now, where did the common era start? At the birth of Christ. But they don't want to admit that any more than they have to. And BCE is before the common era. Well, anyway, you can go on and on. Here's what I want you to do. Whenever you're thinking about talking or whenever you're listening to someone give a speech or whatever, listen and see if you can determine or hear some of these places where they will use a word that we're conditioned to use in our culture nowadays rather than the traditional terms that we're using. And it's all political correctness. And here's an example. Back in 1973, when my wife Janice and I were newlyweds, we were staying at her house in Piedmont, California. And this was at the height of the excitement about the feminist movement. And they didn't want to have the word man in anything. You know, so we were sitting around saying how funny it would be if we had to replace the word man in words. And so Janice's dad, who was a world traveler, said, well, instead of going to Manila in the Philippines, I'd have to go to Personilla. And then, you know, we just went from there. Instead of going to Germany, we'd have to go to Jerpersony. Or, you know, instead of the human race, we'd have to have the Hugh Person race. And so we had a great time with that. Well, now it's 3 decades later, and it's not so funny because what we used to think of as a joke is now become a danger. In fact, the control that's being exercised over our language is now not just a threat, but a systematic annihilation of our culture and freedom, if you stop and think about it. Here's an example. I'm going to read to you some words that have been banned by state departments of education, textbook publishers, test developers, and such. A woman, Diane Ravitch, has compiled a list in a book. It's called The Glossary of Banned Words and Stereotyped Images to Avoid. It's really interesting to read, and I'll just list a few. Now, here's some of the banned words. Heroine is banned as, you know, that's the person that's the female, banned as sexist, and they say you should replace it with hero. Crazy things like when talking about the natives in the jungle that live in huts, well, they say you can't use the word huts because it's ethnocentric and you're supposed to replace it with small houses. And Pollyanna is being banned as being sexist, and you're supposed to replace it with optimist. Even the word sightless is supposed to be banned as being offensive to people who don't have sight, and you're supposed to replace it with people who are blind. Even snowman is banned now. You're supposed to replace it with snow person. Anyway, and it's not just words, it's images or things such as you're not supposed to have an image or draw pictures or whatever showing girls as shorter or smaller than boys, or boys, you're not supposed to depict boys as being curious or ingenious or able to overcome obstacles. It's insane to me that we have let people get us to this point in our culture. They're even banning lists of foods. Here's some of the examples of foods that are banned. Ketchup, potato chips, and pickles. It's like, what are you talking about? All of these things are banned for one reason or another. And our kids' educational materials, you won't find these things because someone has decided that it's offensive. And let me tell you, it's like, you know, some things that we should ban, like the word dummy, and when referring to a deaf person. Of course we wouldn't want to do things that denigrate people, but neither do we have to go fall all over ourselves finding reasons to be offended or worrying about causing offense. So when I see the sterilization of our language inhibiting our freedom, then I wonder what's coming next. As a free citizen and as a Christian, I see that a small group of people who are lucky enough to be in influential situations are taking it upon themselves to secularize our culture, reshape our culture through the education of our children according to secular humanism and moral relativism. What they want is an amoral, godless nation. And in this world, where there would be no distinction between men and women, neither would there be distinction between health and sickness, normal and abnormal, right and wrong, good and evil. You see what I'm driving at? Rather than being colorblind, we should become color conscious. Rather than the majority, the minorities would rule the day. And that's what we've got to fight against, is these few people who we can call the conditioners. Now, so how do we fight this? I'll tell you what we can do. We can fight like Charlton Heston said we should. And let me quote from him. He said, "You can simply disobey. Peaceably, yes. Respectfully, of course. Nonviolently, absolutely. But when told how to think or what to say or how you have to obey, we don't have to do this." Let me finish what Charlton Heston had to say when I get back. This is K-Talk Radio. Give us a call if you want. We'll be right back. Hello, this is Steve Graham on K-Talk Radio. Let me remind you. And when we left, we were talking about a quote from Charlton Heston. And what he was saying is, you don't have to do or believe or say what everybody says. And here's the last part of his quote, and then we'll take a caller. He says, "When told how to think or what to say or how to believe, we don't have to do it. We disobey social protocol that stifles and stigmatizes personal freedom." And that's what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, friends out there. We don't have to do the politically correct thing. If it goes against what you feel is right, what you've always known is right, you can stand for that. If you're sitting in a group, in a meeting or something, and somebody says something that doesn't feel right, you are welcome and encouraged, and you should feel okay about stating your own opinion. Having an opinion in opposition to someone else's is perfectly legitimate, but the conditioners want us to be quiet so that they can have their way with us. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, my time's about up. This is Steve Graham. I represent the Standard of Liberty. I'll be here in a couple of weeks to be back on the air. And if you will take your time to go to www.standardofliberty.org, I think you'll be well served by going there. Also, take a look at our website for tidalwavebooks.com. So thank you for listening today, and I look forward to hearing from you in a couple of weeks. So now I'm going to turn you back over to Steven Reinhart, a great guy. And here you go.
Training. He's going to be substituting for me in the future and probably for other hosts here at the station as well. And I think he just did a great job. As a matter of fact, I'm embarrassed that I don't have some overreaching point for the rest of my discussion today on the air as he did. And Steve is going to stay in studio with us for the rest of the show. So if you have questions or comments for him, give us a call. We still have Steve here in studio, and I think we may have one other caller that has a comment for Steve. So, Steve, do you mind staying with us here for just a second?
Oh, no, that's fine. I'll be glad to stay.
All right. Let's go to line 2. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, thanks for calling in the program today.
I'm LDS. Been in the church my life. And they're there willingly because they want to be there, because there they learn things that blesses their lives.
I appreciate your comment. I think it's much more appropriate than the comment we got before. Steve, you got any final thoughts on that?
When people don't have a good argument, generally they start using ad hominem attacks, and that's what they do. They attack the church or they attack a person rather than sticking to an issue.
Thank you for the call. We really appreciate the comment.
Hey, thank you very much.
Have a good weekend. Welcome back to K-Talk. This is the place where Utah's culture, history, politics, and religion collide. I'm Steve Reinhart. I'm your host. I'm happy to be with you every week at this time. I think Steve Graham did a great job. I think he'll do a good job substituting for us going forward in the future. So we've still got Steve here in studio if you've got questions for him. Let's take Chris on line three. Chris, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just calling. There's a big difference between government-enforced stuff and religion stuff. Religion says, if you believe in this, you should follow it. The government says, this is what you should do. If you don't do it, we're going to punish you.
Right.
So, I mean, you got to, there's a big distinction, and I've always had problems with people who try to act like predominant religions, at least religions in the Western world, like they force people to do stuff, and when it's really just a philosophy, if they don't want to follow it, there's generally nothing that they do.
I think that's a good point. Steve, you got a comment?
Yeah, I do. When it comes to religion, like you say, it's generally a voluntary thing, especially once we get to be adults. Children might be raised in that religion according to the truth with which their parents believe. But the important point is, what's your motivation? If you're doing, if you're belonging to your religion out of fear, then you're belonging to it for the wrong reason. But if you're belonging to, if you're a Christian, you belong to the LDS Church or whatever church, and if you're doing that because you love the Lord and you're trying to keep that first commandment, which is to love the Lord, and the second one, which is to love your fellow man, then you're doing the right thing, and it's not because you're forced. It's because you're doing it out of love, and then there's no compulsion involved there.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see, people like to say that, quote-unquote, the Mormons run Utah. I don't see that anymore. And I see the Baptists running the South. I mean, they're predominant there, but that doesn't mean that people are going to come up to you in your store and say, are you Baptist? No, I'm not buying from you. See you later. Or out here, the other way around. So I just think that a lot of people like to cry about something that's not even really an issue.
You know, you've got a good point there. I was reading the other day, it was a question about the Sabbath day. And someone was complaining about, they were saying that we have the Sabbath day on Sunday, and we've got people from other cultures that have Friday or Saturday as their Sabbath day, and we need to be aware of that too and be sensitive to that. And we can understand that, but we don't have to reorder our society and our culture to accommodate everyone. In fact, I learned that in Israel, there's some LDS people that live over there, and they have the Jerusalem Center and whatever, and I heard the other day that they observe the Sabbath on the Jewish Sabbath so as to be in compliance with that culture over there, and I think there's some laws that say you've got to do that. You can't observe the Sabbath on another day, but the point is they don't complain about it. They don't call up the radio station and complain about the Jewish government or the Jewish culture over there. They just do what they can in the situation in which they find themselves, and I think that's what you're talking about.
We really appreciate the call, and
thanks.
Have a good weekend. Keep listening. There's an article on WorldNet Daily. You can actually find it there right now. Go to the internet. You can go to worldnetdaily.com, or you can just go to Google News and type in WorldNet Daily, and you can find all the articles that are there. But a Massachusetts man was handcuffed and hauled to jail in Massachusetts, obviously, because he went to a public school meeting where he objected to his kindergartner being taught a lesson on homosexuality at school. The man and his wife went to court. They were about this arrest and argued that they had a right to protect their kid from being taught about homosexuality and that they had a right to interfere with the church's, with the school's agenda to condition these kids to make them accepting of homosexuality. And the court ruled against them in Massachusetts. No big surprise there, the most liberal state in the union. The court ruled that it is responsible for public schools to attempt to teach understanding and respect for gays and lesbians. In other words, that the school has a responsibility almost to teach their kids to respect and understand gays and lesbians. The courts, essentially, these liberal judges, have now adopted the position that gays are the exact same as blacks and are the new baby group in the civil rights movement. It's now on appeal, so it's going up to the First Circuit Court of Appeals, which is also a liberal court of appeals. And it wouldn't surprise me if we end up seeing this at the U.S. Supreme Court. So keep an eye on this case. Go to Google News. Read about it if you want to. Steve Graham, who was on earlier, had a comment that he wanted to make about one of the articles that we talked about a minute ago.
Yeah,
I don't know that I even explained the situation correctly there.
No, you did. You did a good job on that, Stephen. It was the article about the man in Massachusetts who wanted to be... All he wanted to be was notified when they were going to discuss homosexuality so he could take his kid out of there. And all of this has come as a result
of
that.
Okay, that's right.
And the judge... So he went to the school board, and the school board said, parents have no right to have any influence on what their children are taught. It was the most amazing thing, and so that's why they had to go to court, because the school board was not responding to the people who pay their salaries. And so the judge said, you know what, David, if you don't like the way the school is going, you've got three choices. Take your kid out and put them in a private school. You can homeschool your kid. Or... You can just wait till the next election and unelect the whole school board and put in people that think the way you think. And none of those are an appropriate response. And besides, the judge is not supposed to be in the business of telling this guy what to do. He's supposed to apply the law the way it's written, and he didn't do it, and that's why they have to appeal. And I bet it will end up in the U.S. Supreme Court. But the problem is, you shouldn't have to resort to that to get your locally elected representatives to actually represent you. And when they take surveys, even in Massachusetts, which is a hotbed of homosexual tendency and feeling and all that, they find the vast majority of the people are in favor of traditional values and don't want these kinds of things, especially homosexuality, taught their kids. And they want to start it in preschool, teaching these kids. They're sexualizing kids before they have any concept of sexualization. And that is child abuse as far as I'm concerned. That's all I have to say.
Hey, you said it much better than I could have said it. I'm glad you're so familiar with the topic. But I feel I share your conclusions about it. These judges and schools that think that they have a right to raise people's kids.
Well, it's an arrogance.
It's greater than the parents.
The school administrators
to be educating them.
From the principals all up through the school boards. They're so arrogant, and they say, you know, we're the pros from Dover, and you're just the silly parents that are bothering us, so leave us alone and let's do what we want. And you've got to stand up against these people and take them to task. Hold them accountable.
Thank you for being with us. Thank you for listening to the program today. Steve, thanks for such a student.